Unity in Christ, loving Christ, and committed to following Him together, believers from Kuhnwald, from southern Bohemia, and from towns and villages throughout other Czech regions, gathered in a great meeting near Richnov nad Nez in 1464. Forced to secrecy, they gathered in the mountains under the open sky. But the document they prepared did not remain a secret. Neither did they want it to. Having found green pastures, following their good shepherd, they could not wait to share it with hungry souls. Among other things, the unity of brothers agreed in the meeting near Richnov to maintain the bond of love among ourselves, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and to set our hope in God. This we will demonstrate in what we say and how we help one another, in the spirit of love, to live honestly, humbly, quietly, meekly, soberly, and patiently. And through this, through our true love one for another, we will show to others what we believe and in whom we place our hope. We agree to obey everything the Lord asks of us in Scripture. Along with this, we agree to accept graciously the instructions, warnings, and reproof of our brothers and sisters. Doing this, we will keep the covenant we have made with God and His Holy Spirit through our Lord Jesus Christ. We will confess our faults and shortcomings. We will humble ourselves and be subject one to another. We will keep the fear of God before our eyes when others reprove us, seeking to change our ways for the better and to confess our sins before God and man. If any one of us does not keep the rules we have made and proves unfaithful to our covenant with God and our Christian fellowship, we must declare, even though with deep regret, that we cannot assure him of salvation. It may even become necessary for us to exclude him from our church fellowship. And if anyone is excluded from our communion on account of some grievous transgression or glaring mistake in doctrine, we cannot readmit him until he has entirely cleared himself and amply proven that he has changed his ways. We agree that all of us should faithfully keep the apostles' instructions in all things. Our priests and teachers, in particular, should set a good example to others. They should walk humbly in word and deed, so that others may have no reason to accuse them. Those who give up personal estates for the church should keep to their decision and not reclaim estates, money, or property. Rather, they should follow the example of the first Christians, submitting with glad hearts to holding all things in common as it is written. They had all things in common and distributed to everyone as needed. This is a praiseworthy and reasonable example for us, especially for those who become messengers of the churches, so that they may learn to be content with simple food and clothing, leaving the rest to the Lord who cares for them. They ought to abstain from extravagance and content themselves with the support the stewards of the common fund are able to give them. Along with this, our priests and teachers should be freed from all care regarding their earthly needs, so they may devote themselves to spiritual duties. They must bear patiently what God allows to come upon them, distress, hunger, cold, persecution, imprisonment, and death itself, after the example of the first Christians who consecrated themselves to God. They must surrender themselves to Christ's rule, following Him patiently and forsaking the world. Those of us who have of this world's things should remember the poor and give freely to them, according to the Word of God. At the same time, we should work with our own hands what is good. Our trading should be only in heavenly goods and treasures, supplying our neighbors with the word of God, teaching them, and praying that the Lord would give them grace. Our priests and teachers may, however, work around home if they have nothing else to do. Whatever they can spare, they should also share with the poor, but if they suffer need, they should be supported, with the consent of all, from our general fund. The same rule applies to brothers and sisters working in trades, or hiring themselves out to earn a decent living. Whoever goes on errands or is employed to do a certain work shall be paid fairly for his labor, unless he can and will do it for nothing to help the congregation. Toward strangers and travelers we will show kind hospitality, in particular if they have left home to spread the gospel. When we see any of our brothers or sisters in need, we will follow the example of the apostles and those who have gone before us in the faith, sharing with them what the Lord in His mercy has given us. If all Christians faithfully stood together in love, if everyone eagerly carried the other's burden, all of Christ's commandments would be fulfilled. Sympathizing love is the perfection of Christian faith. It is what builds and keeps spirituality alive. It is the firmest and most enduring bond of human happiness. The one who does not love has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. With brotherly kindness, we will receive penitent souls, gladly helping those who turn from the world to God to know the truth. No matter who comes to us, he shall find among us a joyful reception. We will speak with him in good faith, give him the advice, the instructions, and whatever warnings he needs, so that he may walk right and grow spiritually. We will not change our place of residence unless it becomes clear that we would be of greater usefulness to the Church of God in another place. We will take special care of the orphans, the widows, and the poor, receiving them in the name of Christ. What we give them will be done in the spirit of love. We consider it our duty to care for those who are persecuted or driven into exile for what they believe. We will ask about them and help as much as we can. Whenever money is paid out of the congregation's general fund to help the poor, the treasurer is to keep a faithful and correct account of it. He shall ask whoever gets the money for a receipt. This is to prevent any suspicion and false report, and to preserve harmony in the congregation. We will seek our rest in the Lord, and guard against the dazzling seductions of the world. The tempting exterior of worldly-mindedness, the subtlety and secret malice of its wicked spirit continually try to overcome Christian simplicity of heart. The world's flattering delusions are dangerous rocks for the faithful. The world's spirit is one of selfishness, the pursuit of temporary pleasures that are often unattainable anyway, and it does nothing more than deceive. From such a spirit, may the Lord in His mercy save us. We consider it our responsibility to obey our earthly rulers in all humility, to show them loyalty in all things, and to pray to God for them. We will seek peace in our congregations and do all we can for common harmony and well-being. In this way, our conscience will be at rest in God, and the grace of God will be with us at all times. A little flock celebrating the Lord's Supper in simple services throughout war-torn Bohemia and Moravia, the unity of brothers became a quiet but powerful movement. After the ordination of its leaders by Stefan, the Waldensian bishop, and the adoption of its own rules, like at the meeting near Rychnov, it chose its own way. But those who belonged to the unity never thought of themselves as the Church of Christ in its entirety. In another general meeting in 1486, the brothers decided, "No one church, however numerous, constitutes the universal church embracing all believers. But wherever there is true faith, as described in the Scriptures, there is a part of the Holy Catholic Church we should thank God for all who serve Him, but no one should lightly leave his own communion and commitment to join another." For many years, Christ's little flock in Czech lands, with this belief and commitment, grew in the face of all opposition. But their peace in heavenly light would not last forever. Eclipse in 1473, 2 years after Jinpo de Brady and Roky Khanna died in Prague, Rihoff himself, worn out from years of persecution and travel, died in the underground at Brandisnad Orlikai, Brandeis am Adler, in Bohemia. One of the last things he told the believers gathered around his bed, Brother Matthijs the bishop among them, was, "Beware of educated and learned persons who may come after me to corrupt the faith." His warning was prophetic. But for the time being, the unity of brothers could not comprehend it. After they buried Rihoff in secret, in a wooded ravine on the Klopot Mountain, a strange peace came to believers in Czech lands. The Hussite government, occupied in strife with Hungary, ignored them. A friendly baron, Jan Tovakovsky of Mlada Boleslav, Jung Bunslau, gave them an abandoned monastery in which to live, and in its seclusion the unity of brothers thrived. They called the old monastery Mount Carmel. In its chapel, they met for simple meetings. In its scriptorium, they set to copying and binding evangelical books. They used one of its halls for a school, and many families moved into its cloistered wings, the surrounding outbuildings, and villages nearby. It did not take long for their witness to result in more congregations taking shape in the nearby town of Vinafis, in Lenesis near Luni, in Brandis nad Labem, Brandeis and Der Elbe, Rychnov nad Nez, Benatki, and Nimeki Brod. Then another wealthy baron, Jan Koska of Litomyshl, far to the southeast, near Landskron, provided the brothers with a refuge. This time they named it Mount of Olives. In southern Bohemia, the unity grew rapidly in the old Waldensian areas of Nova Bistvis, Jinficzów Hradec, and around the village of Kelcis, while far to the east in Moravia, they founded communities at Ferov, Hustopice, Auspitz, Ivancice, Ibenschitz, Slavkov, Austerlitz, and elsewhere. At Fulnek in Moravia, the German Waldensian settlement, now also part of the Unity of Brothers, flourished until, all told, the movement numbered more than 100,000 members. But Hussite authorities, watching anxiously from Prague, could not let it go unchallenged. Tried by fire, in 1487, a new law in Bohemia made it impossible for workers on feudal estates to move freely from place to place. The same law gave their masters the right to buy or sell their labor as serfs and to exercise complete authority, including capital punishment, over them. To make matters worse, Moravia fell under the power of Roman Catholic Hungary. A group of believers fled from there to Moldavia in 1488, but many who could not escape had to suffer, like Ontvej, a brother from Kutna Hora. Seeking escape from constant harassment, Ontvej found refuge at the Mount of Olives in Litomysh. But his wife, a loyal Hussite, would not go with him. When he returned to see her, she betrayed him, and the authorities forced him to stay at Kutna Hora and attend Hussite services. Onfay consented, but not under the conditions imposed. At his first meeting in the town church, he called for silence and began to speak. "Dear friends, what are you doing? What so you worship? An idol made of bread? Oh, worship the living God in heaven!" The priest, outraged at the interruption, ordered the people to seize him. For some time no one moved, but a few rough characters finally grabbed him and smashed his head against a pillar. Then they dragged him to jail. At his trial the next day, the authorities asked Onfay, "Why did you act so shamefully? Who gave you the right to act like that?" Onfay responded with more questions. Who told Abraham to leave his father's idols and worship the living God? Who told Daniel to whom he should pray? Torture on the rack could not move Onfay from his convictions, and when they burned him at the stake, he cried out, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me." Now he calls on Jesus, whose sacraments he despised. His persecutors jeered. But those who knew Onfej, Jan and Mikulas Najibka, Jan Herbeck, Matej Prokop, and others, burned with them for what they believed, did not make fun. The witness of the unity of brothers struck them to the heart, and many kept joining the movement, in spite of persecution, until the evil one brought greater trials upon them.